Hi folks, this is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 62. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars and amps and pedals and music and all, I'm conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with your questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Check out the show notes at theguitarpodcast.net/blog. Or just go to theguitarpodcast.net and look up at the top of the navigation there. You'll see something that says show notes. Click on that. It'll take you right there. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. That's where you can chime in with comments and such. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts where you get emails notifying you when a new episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. All right, let's get to it. Today, we're going to talk about a couple different things. I know the last couple episodes have been really, really long. This one might be back to normal. We'll just see how long. I just decided to talk. So, I don't plan on playing any guitar today on the podcast, but you never know. So, first off, I want to talk a little bit about guitars and cigarette smoke. No. I'm not getting up on my soapbox and saying, you know, don't smoke and all this stuff. Although I will say that I did quit smoking more than 10 years ago. It's one of the best things I did. Highly recommend it. But I'm not going to preach to you about it. What I want to talk about is guitar smoke. Talk to Jimi Hendrix about guitar smoke. No, about cigarette smoke and its effect on guitars. And is it really damaging to guitars? Does it do anything? Is it reversible, any damage that the cigarette smoke could do? So, first off, I want to say that my research has shown that cigarette smoke does put a film on the outside of the guitar. It could actually, over a long period of time, it could permeate the other crevices, like underneath the pickups, all over the pickups, and into the control cavity if it's exposed to heavy amounts of smoke for long periods of time. But the bigger issue is on the outside of the guitar. So, I mean, if you smoke or have ever smoked and you smoke in your car and you look at the film that builds up on the windshield and the glass inside the car, you can definitely attest to this film that builds up all over the place, okay? So if you smoke or you're playing in clubs or whatever with a guitar, you know it's getting all over that, as well as your amp and your pedal board and the components within and without. It's, you know, open for discussion somewhat in many groups about whether or not a guitar really is damaged from cigarette smoke, but strings definitely wear out a lot quicker if you smoke and play guitar. Typically, cigarette smokers' sweat and the oil that comes off of their skin is more acidic and will cause the strings to wear out a lot quicker. It's just something to think about. Now, that acidity that comes out of the sweat and the fingertips and everything can actually damage the finish on a guitar, especially nitrocellulose finishes. The old nitro finishes that were used some companies all the way up through the early 80s, if it's a lacquer finish, it's much more susceptible to this. If it's a polyurethane finish, it's not as susceptible to this. But if you look at like the old, you know, 60s Strats and Tellys and stuff where that forearm wear is there, part of that is that the nitro finish is really thin and can wear down really quick. However, if it's a cigarette smoker who is playing on that guitar, it'll burn right through that nitro a lot quicker. So, I want to reference a website called BayAreaGuitarSwap.yuku.com. And I'll go ahead and put a link to their site on the show notes. But what they're talking about is, how does guitar smoke and cigarette and sweat affect guitars? Guitar finishes can be ruined by smoke and sweat. It's one of the saddest aspects of smoke and sweat damage. In the long run, cigarette smoke along with sweat and other contaminants find their way deep into the surface of the finish and start to break it down. This is especially true on older nitro finishes commonly used up into the 1980s. Nitro finishes can become soft and even get sticky when the temperature gets warm. A good polish up just strips the finish, making it impossible to keep good shine on the finish for long or at all. Sometimes guitar finish affected by cigarette smoke is soft enough that it can be scraped off by your fingernail. Other contaminants do cause the same symptoms, especially if you do not routinely clean your guitar. But with tobacco smoke especially, the problems don't just end there. Cigarette smoke makes guitars smell. The number one thing you might have noticed about guitars have been exposed to long-term tobacco smoke is that they have strong odor. We are often asked to work on or help sell vintage instruments. I'm going to skip over that. Resale value of guitars that really smell bad of tobacco smoke are a little more difficult to sell, especially if it's that of a non-smoker. I did have a guitar that I bought, and I loved it, and I loved everything about it except it had a really strong cigarette smell. The case smelled really bad of cigarettes, and the guitar subsequently did too, and I could keep the guitar out of the case for a long period of time, and I cleaned it up, and I cleaned it up, and I cleaned it up, and I finally got rid of that smell. But if I put it back in that case for any extended period of time, it would start to smell like cigarette smoke again. So basically, I bought another case for it, and I never put it back in that original case because it smelled so bad. And I used Febreze. I used a bunch of different things on that case to get rid of it. One thing I didn't try to get rid of that cigarette smoke smell out of that case was, what I've heard recently is, sometimes you can put a bar of soap. Say, like, if you have old dresser drawers that release, if you buy like an antique dresser and it smells musty, put an old thin bar of soap in there, and that will help with that. Another thing I've heard is, and I've heard this, to use this on your luggage as well as smoky guitar cases, is take a downy fabric softener sheet and throw that in there and close up the case. Febreze didn't do much for the smell. In my case, I set it out in the sun several times. That helped a little bit. But really, it never really got rid of it. So I never tried the fabric softener sheet. It's worth a shot. You know, if you have a guitar case that smells really bad, try it out. Try, you know, all those different things. But, you know, maybe keeping one in there all the time. Maybe in that, where the case candy goes, like picks and all that stuff, that little compartment, put one in there. I wouldn't recommend putting it right next to the guitar whenever the guitar is sitting in there. But if the guitar is not in there, I'd throw it in there. It may help. Hopefully it does. But I've heard many people talk about putting them in their suitcases when they're not using them. But, of course, probably taking them out whenever they pack them full of clothes and go on vacation. So if you have, you know, recommendation is that, especially if you have collectible guitars or vintage guitars, not to expose them to a lot of cigarette smoke, especially guitars that have nitro finishes, simply because it's going to damage the finish that much more and make them smell, basically. A little bit more on how to remove the smells from a guitar or musical instrument. Some of the ways you can remove the smell can be destructive to the finish. Sometimes you just have to refinish it. Okay, now this isn't a direct recommendation from me, but I will say that it's worth a try. With the caveat that I have not tried this, but it's just some information, some FYI. So they're saying there's one or two ways smell can be reduced over time. One or two of the best they've come across is to include spray products, not sprayed directly onto the instrument. The favorite is Ozium, O-Z-I-U-M. This is an air sanitizer product that neutralizes smells very effectively. Ozium is available at drugstores and other retailers across the U.S. Try a web search for Ozium. Never try to directly apply the product to your guitar. Again, never spray it right on the guitar and hope that it will magically make the smell go away. There is no such thing, and you are more likely to do damage this way, which is not the effect you want in this process. If your guitar has a case, it will also likely smell like smoke. Clean the guitar with your favorite polish and cloth. Do clean out your guitar case. Spray the inside of the case with Ozium. Do not make the inside of the case wet with the chemical. Follow the directions and use the spray sparingly. Wait a minute, then place your guitar back in its case. Repeat this every few days or at least every week. Ozium is a neutralizer that does not simply mask the smoke smell. Over time, you will find a difference. I would like to add to what they've said here is that if you're treating your case, I would not put the guitar right back in. I wouldn't even wait a minute. I would wait like hours, maybe even a day before I put my guitar back in. I would really read the ingredients on this product to be sure that it doesn't have a solvent in it that would potentially damage the finish of your guitar. Really have some concerns with that. Moving on, cigarette smoke is not real good for a guitar, obviously. But being realistic, if you're playing out in clubs and stuff, more than likely it's going to be smoke-filled for several hours that you're playing. Ideally, keep a clean cloth around to wipe your guitar down, especially after you're done playing for the night and transporting it home, or maybe say at the end of a set, wipe it down and put it in its case, and then bring it back out for the next set, and so on. And every night that cloth that you're using for wiping your guitar down, I would wash it. I would have a couple polishing cloths that you just wash, and keep them clean. Another thing is, cigarette smoke is not good for porous rosewood fretboards. And nicotine residue fingers will deaden strings in a hurry. Cigarette tar is gummy and sticks to everything. It's acidic. It's really not good for guitars. Furthermore, tobacco smoke contains corrosive carcinogens and chemicals, which over a period of time can cause permanent damage to electronics and other products, as well as your body. Again, I'm not getting up on my high horse or a soapbox and telling you not to smoke. I'm just saying, you know, here are the potential things that the cigarette smoke can do to your guitar. The cigarette smoke can get in your potentiometers, pickups, and output jacks, gum them up, put that film on there, really cause some adverse effects. There are over 4,000 chemicals in cigarette smoke. More than 50 of them are known to be carcinogens. Well, they'll cause cancer. Many of the chemicals in cigarette smoke are also found in the workplace and regulated by OSHA. Some are found in common household products. This is a small sample of the toxic chemicals in cigarette smoke. Oh, here's the big one. Acetone used in solvents. Acetone is a solvent. Solvents break down finishes, basically. It contains ammonia. It's used in cleaners. Benzene is a solvent. Some of these I cannot pronounce, but I will list them out. Butylaldehyde, it's a solvent. Ooh, Cresol is used in solvents. Methyl ethyl ketone, or MEK, is a solvent. Pyridine is another solvent. Quinoline is used as a corrosion inhibitor and as a solvent for resins. Toluene is used in solvents, oils, and resins. Really, if you just look at benzene and toluene alone, they're enough to attack your lacquer and really mess up your guitar's finish. I guess my recommendation, why I'm talking about this is, you know, I've been in many discussions with people who are talking about whether or not cigarette smoke has adverse effect on guitars and such, and so I decided I was going to do this research and look into what potentially could cigarette smoke do to guitars, if anything. And it sure seems like it could do quite a bit, even if it's not a nitro finish. If it's anything that can, you know, if it's a finish that can, that you could use something like Goof Off on, or lacquer thinner, or any kind of solvent to, a paint remover to remove the, if it could be removed in that way, then, you know, cigarette smoke is really going to more than likely damage it, because it has all these solvent chemicals in it. So what I'd like to recommend is, if you're playing out in bars that have a lot of cigarette smoke and stuff, and you have a nice vintage guitar, or a guitar with a finish that is nitro, or a nice lacquer or something like that, you might want to find a different guitar in your collection, one that has a much more resistant, a finish that's much more resistant to these solvents, or any solvent at all. I know a lot of new guitars, not poly guitars, because I would imagine a polyurethane guitar would have a problem with cigarette smoke too. But some of these new resin guitars that have really thick finishes that basically you have to take a chisel to get it off, or maybe a heat gun and a chisel to get that finish off of, maybe that's a guitar you should be using in a bar. I don't think I would want to use my Les Paul in a smoky bar, just considering all the damage that could be done to the finish from that. And however, you know, if you're into relict guitars and stuff, you really dig it, it may be one of those things that you want to do that to age your guitar faster. You know, it's up to you. But I thought I would share that information with you. I know it's kind of a, don't mean to be Debbie Downer on cigarettes and everything, but I'm just not a big fan. I smoked cigarettes for 15 years, and I played in bands and bars, and coming home smelling like cigarettes and smoking nastiness. You know, I just don't want it on my stuff, and it's just my two cents. So I was reading an interview with Zach Wilde online, and I posted this on the Guitar Podcast fan page, and I just love this. Zach says, this is a kind of excerpt of the quote. I mean, just write the music that you love writing, and when you listen to it at the end of the day and you go, it feels like I'm playing a cover song because I like the song so much, it actually feels like I'm playing a cover song. I really love that, because it reminded me of an interview I heard with Rob Zombie and his band when they were talking about, I think this was back in like 1995 or 6 that I read this interview with Rob Zombie about writing music. Well, it was Rob and his band. I think it actually may have been a quote from his bass player. And they said that in writing their music, they write the music that they want to hear. That they're playing the music they want to hear. It's not that, oh, this is our style, or this is, it's like, they're taking their influences and what they think is cool, and they're making that music. And I loved that. And it wasn't necessarily that they were giving advice to say, hey, if you're writing music, this is what you should do, but you know, I would have to say, you know, indirectly they were giving that advice. And if I were to give anybody advice about writing songs, not that I have any gold or platinum records sitting on the wall, but good grief, that's great advice. If you're writing your own tunes or whatever, you know, write the music that you would want to hear, that you, you know, because I guess this goes back to earlier in the article that I was reading with Zach Wilde. He was talking about when his first bands in the 80s, and, you know, the guys in the band really loved Zeppelin and like Black Sabbath and stuff like that. I mean, they just loved that music. But but the music they were playing was really top 40, and they hated it. I mean, he especially hated it. I mean, it was really, really a drag to play this music. And then they should have been playing the music that they loved, the Zeppelin and stuff. And I guess they, you know, one time they were playing, and all of a sudden they broke out into Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin, and they had a great time. And they stopped, you know, they got done with that, and then they had to go back and play their originals and their top 40 swill, and they couldn't stand it. And I guess at that point they realized that they should really just be playing what they love and not this stuff. So, you know, if you're playing in any form of music and your heart's really not in it, I just can't support that. Music is such an emotional thing that it has to come from the heart. It has to come from deep down. And, you know, if you're really not feeling it, if it's one song out of 20 that you're not quite feeling, you know, no big deal, play it. I mean, and if you have to pay the bills by playing music and everything, it doesn't matter what if that's the way it is, I'm not going to, you know, mess with you on that. But really, you know, play what you love. I mean, life's too short to play terrible songs. I'm kind of paraphrasing my dad on something, but so anyway, you know, and just to kind of talk about some of the comments that were placed on the Facebook page was one was by it was basically back and forth with me and a guy named Drew. He said Zach's an extremely talented guitarist and he seems like a pretty good guy. And I said, agreed. This advice reminds me of what Rob Zombie said back in the day, that they wrote music they wanted to hear. Sometimes it's so difficult to be so simple. I just can't get over that. Drew also says, I think it's what made Dimebag Darrell so special. Most of his riffs aren't mega complex, and from what I've heard, and yet they are also full of talent. He knew what the song needed and knew not to wrap it up in some extravagant riff. I'll say this forever. In rock, from the beginning, cool always trumped complicated. It always trumps it. And Drew finishes up, I agree, if you want to be complex, be somebody like Steve Vai, who makes complex sound incredibly cool. And I totally agree there. So, you know, that's one of the things that goes back to, you know, one of my favorite bands of all time was AC/DC. The stuff they did in the 70s and early 80s, well, it's stuff they still do. I mean, it's just heavy rock and blues. It's just pounded out. It's nothing complicated. It's really simple. You know, if you're learning to play heavy rock guitar, I mean, you listen to Jet. Jet, they play a lot like, a whole lot like AC/DC. But, you know, that's a formula that works, man. It's nice and simple, straightforward. Nod your head to it. I mean, you want to drive fast to it. You want to, you know, it's just great. But, you know, there was a time back in the late 90s whenever I got really, mid to late 90s, when I got really tired of heavy rock. And just, I was so burnt out on it. And a friend of mine turned me on to country music, of all things. Going from listening to bands like Obituary and Nirvana and Alice in Chains and stuff like that, to listening to Alan Jackson and you know, later on Keith Urban and people like that, George Strait, and you know, I started listening to that and just it just felt good. It was a really nice change. And just kind of really cleansed my palate, so to speak, my musical palate. And it just stuck for years. I just listened to a lot of George Strait and Merle Haggard, and just, I didn't listen to much of anything but country. Some blues from time to time. But, you know, from, I'd say from about 95, 96 up until about 2001, 2002, I didn't listen to much of anything but country. And it was reflected in the bands I was in, that I chose to play in bands that played country. And whenever I'd learn a song, I wanted to learn country. I wanted to play country. The songs I was writing, they were country songs. I wasn't really writing any rock songs back then. It was all country. And it made me feel good, and I loved it. And that was coming from the heart. And, you know, I'd play some rock just playing around here or there, but it was like maybe 1% of the music that I was playing at the time. So really, you know, follow your heart when you're playing, you know, the kind of music that you want to play. Whether you're just tooling around in your bedroom or playing in a band or whatever. If you want to explore jazz. You know, if you're listening, you find yourself listening to folk music or whatever, you know, why not dive into it and start playing that? Or maybe flat picking some bluegrass. You know, really follow that and expand upon that. I'd have to say that if it's like me back in the day, I was playing a lot of metal in high school, but, you know, I liked Simon and Garfunkel, so I learned a couple of their songs, and I liked a lot of that hippie 60s music, like Mamas and the Papas. So I learned a few of their songs and got into college, and I was like, you know, I learned some Pink Floyd and some Rolling Stones songs. But I mean, I was a long-haired metal guy, you know, all into death metal and playing as fast as I could. But, you know, I really like this other stuff. So why not play it? And that just makes you a more rounded guitar player. And just like I've said before, you know, I recommend people listening to other instruments as well as other kinds of music that are outside of the realm of what they're used to playing. And you never know, you might actually like it. I mean, there, you know, here I am, a metalhead, and I loved, and I turned into a, you know, a country western fan. You know, what's up with that? So, you know, I hope that this podcast has kind of helped you. It's been a little bit informative. I know the beginning was kind of a drag, probably thinking about all the stuff that happens to our guitars whenever we play out in clubs and stuff, and what could, you know, the damage that could have been done to a guitar. If you have, you know, feel free to comment, send me some emails, throw it out there on the Facebook page, or on the blog, whichever one you want, you know, on the show notes page. You know, I'd love to hear from you what your thoughts are about cigarette smoke on guitars and amps and that film that's left there and the damage that could be done there. Just interested in what you have to say. Just a little bit of feedback. I know that could be a very polarizing topic. But anyway, you know, last couple episodes, I've done a lot of, you know, pick reviews and playing some guitar and a little bit of instruction, a little bit of guidance and stuff like that. And what I wanted to know was, you know, I've talked a lot. I mean, this is episode 62, and most of what I tend to talk about is gear, pedals, guitars, amps, speakers, putting things together, you know, playing with stuff. But what I really would like to know from you is, are you more interested in gear or instruction or a little bit of both? And because I want to better serve the audience of the Guitar Podcast, and you know, I like talking about gear, but, you know, I teach guitar on Thursday nights, I really enjoy it, and I kind of am a teacher at heart. Otherwise, I don't think I'd be doing this podcast talking to you about guitars and amps and pedals and playing guitar and all this stuff. So if there's an interest there in wanting some instruction more so than gear, or even it out, or maybe like 50-50 or something like that, let me know. I know that I did post out on the guitar on the Facebook page about posing the question, which are you more interested in, gear or instruction? And I've got Rob says gear, Ben says gear, Michael says both, really. So I mentioned that's 50-50. John says gear. Adam says 70% gear, 30% instruction. Todd says both. So it's looking like maybe 60-40, maybe 66-33. So a lot of gear versus instruction, but it seems like there are people who want some instruction. And but I'd love to hear from more of you about, would you like some more instruction? Now, I will say that on YouTube, I did that review of the D'Addario coated strings, and by the way, they've been on there, 10 months, 9 months, and those strings still sound pretty good. They've dulled just a little bit into a point where I really kind of like them. They still look pretty good, they sound pretty good, and they haven't started to fray. They haven't been played a whole lot, but that's the whole point for me on this, is that you know, to put the strings on so that they don't rust and tarnish and get dead over, you know, without being played. I mean, because I've got a couple different guitars and don't play them all the time, and then there's the times when I would go down to my uncle's house or my grandpa's house and restring his guitar and then come back and it'd be all rusty. And I should have been putting coated strings on there during that time so that whenever I came back, it'd be just fine. So I'm fairly impressed with those strings. Anyway, I digress. Back to what I was originally wanting to tell you about was that I got a comment on YouTube on that video where somebody was wanting to know what I was playing at the 4 minute and 23 second mark, and wanted to know if I would tab that out for them. And I was like, you know, basically it's the second part of the intro riff to Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi. And just, I don't know why it just popped into my head to start playing that during that demo of those strings, but I did. So what I did was I grabbed a sheet of paper, wrote it out real quick, took a photo of it on my iPhone, and I threw it up on the website and linked to it. So what I'm gonna do is put a link to the video on on the show notes, as well as a link to that tab if you're interested. I mean, it's not a terribly complicated riff, but it's one of my favorites. I played it a lot whenever the song was really popular. I still obviously like it. So if you dig it and you want to learn it, go for it. Another thing I'm thinking about doing is putting together some tab and tabbing out a bunch of different songs, just basically the way I play them, and putting them in a folder out there on the site for you to access. Anyway, if you would like more of that sort of thing, some more instruction, some tab, and actually probably better tab than just me, my handwriting. I think you can tab it out so that it's electronic and much better than my handwriting, because my handwriting is atrocious. So, you know, I'd love to hear from the audience on that, if you want some instruction and some more videos and so on and so forth. So, okay, so this episode is a little longer, but what I'm going to do is wrap it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Comment on Facebook if you like what you heard today and you like you subscribe through iTunes or Zoom. Please let them know by writing a review. Thanks for tuning in again. This is Warren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.